Hello, this is Sharon Silcox for the Triangle Radio Reading Service, welcoming you to our reading of the book, The Goodwill Vultures Club, A Day of Heroes. I'm thrilled to have the author, Hugh Willard, here with me today. Hugh and I will be reading his book together. This program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. If you have any questions or comments, please contact us at our website, triangleReadingService.org, or call us at 919-832-5138. Once again, that number is 919-832-5138. And now, join us in this delightful contemporary story of unusual friendships, bravery, and compassion. Welcome to the Goodwill Vultures Club. Saturday, August 16th, 2012, the founding members.
I hereby call the first meeting of the Goodwill Vultures Club to order,
Buzz announced as he scanned the treehouse to ensure that everyone was present and accounted for.
My name is Elton Stewart, but I go by the name Buzz. If you call me Elton, well, I don't know. Just don't.
With his head tilted forward, Buzz raised his eyes over the brim of his notebook to see if there would be any challenge to his authority regarding his name. Seeing none, he proceeded with calling the roll for the club.
Roberta?
The large, sleek black bird with the bedraggled red head and harshly hooked beak turned toward Buzz, shook, and slowly lifted her wings before sharply thrusting them downward and settling back in for a rest.
Okay, you're right. If I expect to be called Buzz, then you should expect to be called Rob. I'm sorry, Rob. Gillian?
The gentle, wise, old yellow lab's ears perked and angled at the call of her name.
Maggie?
A gruff, nasally snorting sound came from the corner where a plump, tricolored beagle with bulging eyes was sound asleep.
Maggie?
Right on cue, another loud snore answered the call.
Margaret!
Snapped Buzz, at which point Maggie raised her brows over half-opened eyelids.
That's better. Thank you for coming today, everyone. It's a beautiful late summer day here in Greendale, North Carolina. Fifth grade starts in a week, and we need to get going with establishing our club. Our first order of business is to come up with our slogan. Now, we all know that most people do not like vultures. Just because vultures are not as attractive as parrots, or chirp and trill as lightly as the larks, and just because they eat dead animals, does not mean vultures aren't truly great themselves. Vultures are gentle, shy creatures who work hard to keep our streets clean, and this is the thanks they get? To be treated like second-class citizens who never get invited to parties or Saturday afternoon baseball games in the park? Well, we need to fix that. So, what shall we say?
By this point, two of the other three founding members of the club were fast asleep. Nonetheless, Buzz continued.
Benjamin Franklin saw the grace and beauty in the turkey vulture when he suggested that it, and not the bald eagle, become the national bird and symbol for the United States. Maybe we could use him in our slogan.
Buzz moved toward Rob, perched on the wide ledge of the treehouse's one window opening.
Things would have been quite different if people had listened to Mr. Franklin.
He said quietly as he rubbed his hand between her large wings, down her slick, muscular back. Stroking her coarse black, gray and white feathers reminded Buzz of the year before when he first met Rob.
Do you remember when I first found you, girl? I can't believe it's been over a year already. That morning I was skipping rocks across the river where Dad, Jason, and I were in the mountains camping. It was already pretty warm outside. I looked up and saw a big swirl of black wings floating low overhead. That was kind of freaky, but also cool. Of course, Gillian, Maggie, and I began to scout the area. You know me. If there's something to explore, I'm going to do it.
Buzz grinned as he said this.
Coming around the bend in the path and seeing you hurt and not moving, even though my nutty dogs were almost on top of you, barking like mad? Wow! I was shocked and scared for you, and seriously curious all at the same time. You amazed me with your size. I'd never seen such a big bird up close. Of course I'd like to forget about the awful smell of that half-eaten thing that you spit at me.
The refrain came from the back corner of the treehouse as Maggie rolled over on her side and stretched her short, stout legs. Her snort brought Buzz back from his memory and awakened Gillian, who lifted her head to take a quick sniff, before lowering back down and wagging her tail across the floor like a feather duster on a fine piece of furniture.
I'm sure glad my dad is an ornithologist and knew just what to do last year when I found you,
Buzz said to Rob as she dropped her head and picked at her breast with her beak.
When the vet said that you wouldn't be able to fly anymore, I just knew my dad would come around and let me keep you.
Well, it was far from a sure thing that Buzz would be able to keep Rob. His dad had repeatedly told Buzz that it was a real uphill battle for them. Rob was a wild animal. She might be difficult to train. There were health and safety concerns for both the bird and the kids. There were federal laws and town ordinances against keeping wildlife as pets. It was only because his dad was a research scientist who worked with wild birds that they were able to get a temporary permit to keep Rob. Buzz chose to think that the temporary permit would never expire. Buzz turned back to resume the club meeting, only to see both dogs asleep once again.
Okay, I can see that we're going to have to cut our first meeting short due to extreme sleepiness. Rob, we'll figure out our slogan later.
Buzz then called Gillian and Maggie over to the wide wooden ramp to come down out of the treehouse. The two dogs rose, stretched, and yawned, and then scrambled down over one another on their way to the backyard.
I'll see you later, Rob,
called Buzz over his shoulder, skipping down the ramp himself.
Ben Franklin wanted the wild turkey, not the turkey buzzard, to be the national bird.
The melodic and slightly deepened voice coming from the backside of the tree belonged to Pee-wee, Buzz's next-door neighbor and best friend. He was lying on his back in the grass with his arms crossed behind his head, looking out at the late afternoon sunlight through the large oak leaves. Pee-wee was short and skinny, with a permanent look of lovable mischief on his dark brown face.
And what are you doing having a club meeting with your animals? That's just weird. Whatever, corndog. I'm seriously bored. And who died and made you Mr. Google?
Buzz asked playfully.
Your granny is a corndog,
Pee-wee shot back as he jumped up and smacked Buzz on the back of the head before tearing off across the backyard, laughing along the way. Buzz started to give chase before slowing and calling out to his friend.
Hey, Jason's got another basketball game tomorrow. You want to go?
Pee-wee ran back over to where Buzz was and, bending over, hands on knees to catch his breath, asked,
Tell me again why your older brother plays on a team with kids who aren't in wheelchairs? You keep thinking that this is like the Paralympics wheelchair basketball we saw on TV last summer. Those guys are serious athletes. Well, I guess these kids can be, too. Anyways, this is the Special Populations Program through Greendale Parks and Rec, which is for anybody with physical or mental disabilities. Even though Jason is obnoxious and whiny, he's plenty smart. Don't tell him I said that. His head's big enough already. He gets to be on the team because he has cerebral palsy. Cerebral who?
Asked Pee-wee in a half-serious tone.
Cerebral palsy. You know he has CP,
replied Buzz as he moved toward the back steps of the house.
Oh, that's right, CP. I always thought the CP stood for Corndog Puffhead.
Buzz and Pee-wee were forever teasing one another, although Buzz knew Pee-wee meant no harm by his playing.
Yeah, yeah. Come in and get some water, doofus.
Gillian bowled past Buzz, nearly knocking him over as she ran inside, first to the water dish for two quick slaps of water, and then to hop up in her favorite worn-out brown leather chair in the family room. Maggie, as usual, dawdled in the backyard, seemingly deaf to Buzz's calls to come inside. Pee-wee finally ran over and picked her up and carried her in, her whole body swaying in one excited wag.
I'll ask my mom about the game. What time does it start?
Pee-wee asked as he dropped Maggie gently to the kitchen floor.
3 o'clock,
came the call from the hallway before Jason appeared in his motorized wheelchair.
Do you think Denise will be there?
Buzz and Pee-wee weren't sure if Jason had a crush on Pee-wee's older sister, D.C. or just admired her athletic skills. Buzz argued that if it was just her sports abilities, Jason would not always be calling her by her given name, Denise, especially when he never called Pee-wee by his given name, Stephen.
I'll ask her. She does like basketball the most. I don't know how she'll feel about being around...
Pee-wee caught himself at the last moment, realizing he was unsure of what to say about the special needs kids in front of Jason. Jason shot a look towards Pee-wee.
I've got CP, Pee-wee. My legs don't work well, and my muscles don't always do what I want them to. I'm not a three-headed alien. Sorry, dude. I'm still not used to talking about any of this.
Pee-wee said meekly.
Well, you better get used to it if you're going to go to any of my games.
Jabbed Jason. Buzz stepped in.
Take it easy, Jason. He didn't mean any harm. You seriously need to chill.
Jason snarled at Buzz first and then huffed as he rolled past Pee-wee back down the hall.
I'd wipe the floor up with both of you in basketball.
His fading comment trailed as he disappeared around the corner.
What's up with the attitude?
Pee-wee asked.
Beats me. You know he's always been kind of stuck on himself. It's definitely getting worse now that he's 14. Sometimes he thinks he's God's gift to the universe. Sometimes he's nicer and easier to be around. Do you think his attitude has anything to do with your mom and dad splitting up last year?
Pee-wee wondered aloud.
I don't know, maybe.
Buzz said.
We never really talked much about it. I'm sure he misses Mom, too. He's definitely happy to see her when we visit. It's just that Mom stays so busy with things, we hardly get to spend time with her. I remember when you first told me last summer about your parents getting a divorce. Dude, that was rough for you. Yes, it was.
Buzz said casually, while poking his head in the refrigerator. Pee-wee slouched into a kitchen table chair and stretched out his legs.
I also remember how crazy excited you were when you called me after going to the mountains a few weeks later.
Pee-wee was the first person Buzz called when he'd returned from his fateful camping trip, on which he'd found Rob. He was also the first person Buzz had confided in about his parents' separation and divorce. For all their playing and joking, Pee-wee was a solid ear and a sturdy friend when Buzz needed him. While most of the phone calls and texts during the weeks before the trip were for Buzz to talk about how lousy he felt about things, this was the first call in some time where Pee-wee told his best friend that he'd heard cheer in Buzz's voice.
Yeah, I remember your lame joke when I called.
Pee-wee's thick eyebrows arched on his forehead.
First of all, if I came up with a joke, there's no way that it was lame. And second of all, I have no memory of that. What did I say to you?
Buzz appeared over the top of the open refrigerator door, holding three bottles of water against his chest with one arm and a sleeve of thin mint cookies in his other hand.
I said, no way you'll guess what I've got. And you said, well, if you've been camping with your dad, I guess you got a bad case of poison ivy on your rear end.
Buzz's voice squeaked while he was trying to do his best impression of his friend's deeper voice, making Pee-wee burst out laughing.
I remember that now,
Pee-wee said as he pointed at Buzz.
And like I said, that wasn't lame. That was one of my better ones.
With two cookies crammed in his mouth, instead of answering back, Buzz scrunched his face and nodded mockingly toward Pee-wee. After he stopped chuckling, Pee-wee asked Buzz about his mom.
Is your mom coming to Jason's game tomorrow? Nope.
Buzz looked toward the floor as he spoke. He was still bothered by his mom's busy schedule, but was slowly becoming more accepting of it.
She's got to work again.
Pee-wee caught Buzz's quick shift in mood.
That's too bad. Hey, who's the third bottle of water for?
He asked as Buzz handed one of the waters to him, while taking a big swig from his own bottle.
For Rob. Dude, seriously? The bird gets fancy bottled water? It's just regular bottled water. My dad says it's better for her.
Sunday, August 17th, 2012, Rob's Grand Entrance.
Hey, Buzz.
Pee-wee's call echoed from across the gym. He and DC had just entered through the side door and spied Buzz and Rob through the jumble of people wearing bright orange Greendale Special Populations volunteer shirts. They maneuvered their way past the assemblage of athletes in their various teams' jerseys to where they came face-to-face with their friend and his most out-of-place avian companion.
Are you whacked, bringing that wild, ugly bird in here?
Pee-wee asked, half laughing, half stunned.
I didn't see any sign saying no wildlife allowed. Besides, you know she's harmless, and she can't fly.
Buzz added.
I wanted to get her out for a while. She really seems to be handling all of the commotion rather well, if you ask me.
DC stood slightly behind Pee-wee with a more curious and less amused expression, highlighted by her permanently raised eyebrows. She was 2 years older than Pee-wee and Buzz, and although she was more athletic than either of them, she typically took refuge behind her round-rimmed tortoiseshell glasses and much preferred reading and writing stories to the goofy antics and constant teasing of her brother and Buzz. After a brief moment, she spoke up. Is this the very first time you've brought her out in public?
Yep. I really think she's ready.
Buzz slowly and deliberately lifted one finger to gently scratch Rob on the back of the head. He wore a thick mitt on the other hand where Rob was perched. He was quite proud of the time and effort he put into getting Rob to step onto his gloved hand. Today was their first trip out of the treehouse. DC took a hesitant half-step towards Rob. I remember meeting her for the first time last summer. She was in the bathtub resting, all wrapped in warm towels. I was shocked and a little scared. Actually, I think I'm still getting used to her. I mean, I know now that she's gentle. It's just that she's hard to look at. Buzz frowned.
I know, DC. But you know it's not her fault that she looks the way she does.
DC turned and looked around the gym. Where's Jason? Buzz was happy to follow as DC changed the subject.
His team is the Greendale Giants. They're over by the end of the bleachers in the red shirts. You guys want to go sit down over there? They play in the first game. Fine by me.
Pee-wee said as he continued to look at Rob.
Where's your dad? He's refereeing the first game. He's over by the scorer's table right now.
Buzz was very aware of the stares as he lagged behind DC and Pee-wee on the way over to the bleachers. He was so proud of his girl, Rob. He tried to suppress his smile and move nonchalantly along. Just then, an older kid approached him. Buzz recognized him as the high school brother of Mark, a boy in Buzz and Pee-wee's class. Mark was quiet and sometimes brooding. Along with many others in their class, Buzz was leery of getting involved with him. There were numerous stories of the trials of Mark and his family, stories of violence and drugs. Buzz never quite believed them, but it hurt enough to be cautious nonetheless.
Hey, kid, you need to take that ugly bird out of here. It's scaring the athletes.
She's not hurting anybody. She can't fly, and I have her leg cuffed to my glove. And besides, I don't see any of the athletes looking frightened.
Buzz said softly, but assertively. Rob seemed to bring more strength out in him. The older boy scowled as he turned to walk away.
You'd better keep that wrinkle-headed freak alien away from me,
he muttered. Pee-wee and DC were a few steps away during the exchange between Buzz and Mark's brother, wide-eyed. They went up to Buzz and Rob. Wasn't that Mark's brother? DC asked. What did he say to you?
He told me that Rob was scaring the athletes,
Buzz said.
I don't see anybody freaking out. All I see are a lot of curious stares and some athletes not even paying attention. I guess they're much more tolerant than some other folks.
Pee-wee spoke up.
I heard Mark's brother is suspended for the first week of school next week because of a fight at the end of last school year. He broke this other kid's jaw. The dude had to get his mouth wired shut.
He then added,
not somebody you want to mess with. Well, we're not causing any problems. We're just here to cheer on Jason,
Buzz said defensively. Pee-wee continued,
You remember all those things we heard about Mark and his family? I know Mark never talks at school. Sometimes I feel bad for that kid. I would hate to be avoided by everyone, although he seems to prefer it that way.
DC interjected. He probably just doesn't want anyone to know he's bothered by being ignored. I think his sister is like that, too. She's in some of my classes, but misses a lot of school. I'm not really sure why. Just then, Buzz, Pee-wee, and DC's heads all swiveled simultaneously as they heard yelling over by the scorer's table. A scowling, short, thin lady wearing one of the orange volunteer shirts was pointing over at Buzz and Rob as she was barking at Buzz's dad. "This is no place for that horrendous bird! It needs to go now!" the lady screeched as she clamped her hands on her hips and with clenched jaw glared at Buzz and Rob. Mr. Stewart moved slowly towards the kids, while trying to think quickly on his feet about what to do. As he approached, his stern look softened and dropped.
"Buzz, it's not a good idea for Rob to be here. Many people don't understand, and they're afraid. We don't need this distraction. This day is for the athletes. I'm sorry, but you need to take her home."
Buzz was embarrassed and frustrated, but also felt bad that his dad had to take some of the heat for Rob.
"Sorry, Dad. I'll call Pee-wee's mom and ask her to come get us. I'll wait outside." "Thanks, buddy. We'll talk more this evening."
Mr. Stewart squeezed Buzz's shoulder in a quick massage before giving Rob a scratch on the crown of her head. He then trotted back to the scorer's table, blowing his whistle and calling the team's coaches over for final instructions before the game. Sitting on the curb outside, holding Rob directly in front of him, Buzz was smoldering from the two angry encounters in the gym.
"Why are people so afraid of you, Rob? Why are they so ignorant?"
Buzz asked softly through a heavy sigh. Just then, Buzz looked into her big black eyes, and Rob, who was leaning forward and slightly to the side, quickly opened, stretched, and flapped her wings once. She gingerly stepped up Buzz's arm and onto his shoulder before doing a pirouette and settling on her haunches. Because of her size, Buzz had to tilt his head to one side. A broad smile swelled across his face as together they looked out at the park across the street from the gym. After a moment, Buzz glanced skyward to see three buzzards in the graceful soar that he had come to call the Sky Glide. He turned tightly to Rob.
"Do you miss your friends, girl?"
Rob did not break from her straightaway stare. Her dull, glossy red head and gangly neck sat atop her proud chest. Buzz joined her in gazing upward.
"Well, you've got a lifelong friend in me, Rob. You can always count on me."
Later that evening, Buzz was dozing on the couch with Maggie snoring on the sofa arm above his head when the back door creaked open. Mr. Stewart was the first to enter, with Jason directly behind.
"We are the champions, my friend."
Jason's off-key singing was like a metal fork scratching glass. Rob, who was on the floor over by Gillian, seemed to grimace and shake her head while Maggie sat up and began wagging her tail.
"Buzz,"
Mr. Stewart called,
"we're home, and as you can painfully hear from your brother singing, his team won. Jason, when American Idol brings their auditions to town, you should stick to basketball. Take my word on this one, son."
"Aw, man, I would dog all of them in singing. Hollywood, here I come,"
crowed Jason as he coasted down the hall.
"Screen all of the texts and tweets from my adoring fans. I won't have the time to read all of them."
Buzz smiled as he sat up from his nap and rubbed his eyes.
"I'm sorry about this afternoon, Dad."
Mr. Stewart came over and sat between Buzz and the awake but still snorting Maggie.
"Son, you're going to have to be very careful with where you take Roberta. Most people know very little about these shy birds. They only know that they are really big, not really pleasing to look at, and feed on the bad fortune of animals run over in the road. What was that lady's deal this afternoon at the gym?" "That was one of the volunteers from the Greendale JCs, Mrs. Newsom. She means well usually, but can get worked up real easily. We just need to chalk this one up to experience, son.
Okay, Dad. Sorry again.
It's all right, son. You're doing a great job with Roberta,
Mr. Stewart replied as he gave Buzz's back a quick rub.
Now take her back out to the treehouse for the night. She needs her rest. Remember that we're taking her to the lab tomorrow afternoon for a thorough evaluation. You probably will have to go with Jason to his physical therapy at the indoor pool in the morning. Your mom will come pick you guys up at 8. She'll be in town for work. You'll get to spend some time together.
Monday, August 18th, 2012. More first impressions.
Come on, Jason. Get out of the bathroom. I need to brush my teeth before Mom gets here.
Buzz squawked at his preening brother. Buzz was usually fairly tolerant when Jason was in the bathroom styling his hair, since Jason's CP meant it took him longer to do basic tasks. But today was different. Undaunted by the bad scene at the gym the day before, Buzz had settled on taking Rob back out with him for the morning. As Jason flung the door open, Buzz stood before him with Rob on his gloved right arm and the ever-present Gillian to his side, wagging her tail.
Dude, I need to fix my hair. And what are you doing with Roberta? I thought Dad was taking her to work.
That's not until this afternoon. And why do you need to fix your hair? You're going to the pool. It's just going to get wet once you get there.
You haven't come with me in a while, mi amigo,
grinned Jason, returning his gaze to the bathroom mirror.
There's a new assistant helping with my therapy. Her name is Juanita, and she is muy bonita.
Muy bo what?
Asked Buzz, with some annoyance remaining in his voice.
Muy bonita. That means very pretty in Spanish. She's Latina and will be a junior at Greendale High this fall. She's doing a summer internship at the physical therapy center.
Way, way out of your league, dude,
said Buzz.
You don't know that,
Jason answered sharply.
Come on, man. You're going to be in the 9th grade. She's not going to give you the time of day.
Ordinarily so, but since she's been helping with my therapy this summer, I'm getting to know her pretty well. You know how easily I can charm the ladies,
Jason said, flashing an exaggerated smile.
Not with that goofy-looking pink camouflage bathing suit you're wearing. That thing looks more like Dad's old pajama bottoms. Where did you get that thing?
You are so jealous of my fine sense of style, boy,
Jason said without bothering to look away from the mirror while he brushed his hair.
Whatever. Just hurry up so I can brush my teeth.
Just then, the doorbell chimed, and right on cue, Gillian and Maggie sounded the alarm, barking loudly and startling Rob, who flapped her wings frantically for a few moments. Buzz spoke soothingly as he rubbed the back of her neck and headed down the hall towards the front door. Buzz saw through the side window pane that it was his mom, so he yelled to her over the yelps and the clicks of the dog's toenails on the hardwood floor.
Come in, Mom. I've got the dogs.
Buzz was sufficiently contorted as he had Rob on one arm, Gillian by the collar with the other hand, and one foot slightly in the air, blocking Maggie from bolting out the door. Maggie quickly bumped into Buzz's foot, causing him to lose his balance. In one swift turn, Buzz tumbled to the floor, falling over Gillian and pitching Rob into the air toward his mom. Rob flapped her broad wings and stretched her talons forward like an airplane's landing gear as she touched down on top of Buzz's mom's head. Miss Stewart flashed the briefest sign of distress before regaining her composure and holding very still while Rob alternated picking up each foot up and down in attempts to settle on her head. Buzz bolted upright almost as quickly as he hit the floor. At the same time, he and his mom spoke.
Are you okay, Mom?
I'm fine,
they each replied simultaneously. Finally, his mom alone spoke. It looks like Roberta is doing well. Would you mind helping her off my head? Any other day, it might be all right for her to take a rest up there, but I've got a meeting I have to be at right after I drop you and Jason off at the pool.
Sure thing, Mom.
Buzz answered as his mom bent over, and he reached up for Rob. While he cradled Rob in his arms and began to move toward the door to go out, his mom turned and asked, "Have you brushed your teeth?"
"I will in just a second, Mom. I'm going to put Rob in the van first,"
Buzz replied casually, trying not to make this seem out of the ordinary. Miss Stewart, after a momentary delay, realized what he was doing. "Does your dad know you're taking Roberta to the pool? Is this okay, Buzz?" she asked, with one eyebrow pitched high, when Buzz came back inside. At that same moment, Jason motored into the living room.
"Hi, Mom. How's it going?"
Buzz took this opportunity to dart off to go brush his teeth.
"Dad's fine with it, Mom,"
he said over his shoulder. In truth, that meant that Buzz's dad was fine with Rob being away from home today, being with him at the animal clinic for her evaluation. Mr. Stewart was completely unaware of Buzz's plan for the morning. After Buzz helped his mom get Jason settled in the van, he clambered into the rear of the van next to Rob, who had perched up on the back of the seat. He quickly but gently lifted Rob and moved her to the floor, hoping his mom would forget she was even along until they were well on their way to the pool.
"Hey, Mom, ask Jason about his new girlfriend,"
Buzz said as soon as they started to back out of the driveway. This drew a brief look of surprise from his mom and a sharp retort from his brother.
"Shut up, jerk."
"Come on, boys, that's quite enough." After a moment, she turned to Jason and quietly asked, "Jason, you are getting older. Is there someone you're interested in?" Jason turned crimson as he mumbled,
"Yeah, sort of. She's helping out at the pool this summer."
It was unlike Jason to be embarrassed, but it did happen occasionally around their mom. As he continued to sheepishly tell his mom about his crush, Buzz breathed a sigh of relief, feeling that Rob's opportunity to come with him was safe. While he stroked her head, Rob peered at him with eyes that seemed to hold deeper and deeper trust in his care for her. The remainder of the ride to the pool unfolded without any attention to Buzz and Rob, which was quite to his liking. Once they pulled up to the front of the pool, Buzz quietly left Rob in the back seat while helping his mom with Jason. "See you later, Mom," both boys called after Jason was settled in his wheelchair. Buzz reached in the back seat, slipped on his mitt, and quietly lifted Rob out of the van. He realized that he'd forgotten to bring the chain and clasp to attach to her leg and the glove. "I love you both. I'll see you this Sunday afternoon at Community Day." As they turned to go inside, Miss Stewart, with arms crossed and lips pursed, asked again, "Now, Buzz, you're sure it's okay to take Rob inside?" Without stopping or turning to look back at his mother, Buzz said,
"It's fine, Mom. Really, I'll take good care with her."
Miss Stewart gave an unsure smile while scratching her head and then hurriedly jumped into the van to go to her meeting. Jason puttered up beside Buzz, who had briefly jogged ahead.
"Dude, what are you going to do if someone has a fit like that crazy lady did yesterday?"
Buzz got a little edgy at the thought of the day before.
"You're right about that. She is crazy. Rob wasn't bothering anyone." "Well, bothering anyone or not, some people are just going to be freaked out by her." "I'll deal with it, Jason. You don't need to worry about it."
As they entered the pool lobby, Buzz was on high alert, feeling very self-conscious about having Rob sitting on his arm. The teen working the front desk was listening to music on his iPhone while furiously texting at the same time. Even though it was already hot outside, he wore a striped blue and gray toboggan low over his eyes in the quite cool air conditioning indoors. He never even glanced up as Buzz, Rob, and Jason went by.
"Man, it's freezing in here,"
Jason said with exaggeration, pulling his beige beach towel over his shoulders and across his pale, bare chest. Buzz quickly shushed his brother and scurried over to the double doors leading into the pool to hit the large metal button to start the automatic door opener. He was really hoping to go unnoticed. As the doors opened, Jason wheeled in first, scanning the whole pool area, searching for Juanita. Buzz followed, pulling his arm in closer to protect Rob from excessive scrutiny. Just then, a familiar, friendly voice pitched above the steady noise that echoed off the walls in the big building.
"Hey, Buzzy, is this Roberta? The way cool vulture you've been talking about for a year in school, but never bothered to bring around to show anyone?"
The strong, raspy voice belonged to Caroline, a classmate of Buzz's for the past 3 years. She was all tomboy, with freckles and straight brown hair always pulled back into a ponytail. With her appearance and outgoing personality, she stood out in the crowd, particularly in contrast to the rest of her wealthy family, who most thought of as being very proper and reserved. She was as kind as she was tough, and always seemed to have a soft spot for the underdog, or those who were different and unpopular. Right away, she displayed a smitten smile as she approached.
"Oh, she's beautiful. Can I hold her?"
Buzz chuckled.
"I can honestly say that I have never heard anyone say that before,"
he said, scratching the back of Rob's fuzzy neck while extending his arm out for Caroline to nudge Rob onto the towel on her forearm.
"She's actually doing pretty well now with not gripping too tightly with her talons. Just be real gentle since she doesn't know you. I forgot to bring her chain, too."
"Why does she need a chain? I thought she couldn't fly," Caroline said as she lifted Rob up and began to coo to her.
Buzz saw right away that Caroline was a natural with Rob.
"My dad said it's to keep her safe and to help her more with her training. She can't really fly, but she could move around pretty quickly if she wanted to."
"Hi, Jason. Are you ready to get started?" While Buzz and Caroline were making over Rob, Juanita had moved over next to Jason. She was wearing a forest green, one-piece bathing suit with a white towel tied around her waist. Her heavily accented voice was as sweet as her smile, and Jason immediately broke into a broad grin. His palsied arms tended to shake more when he was excited or nervous, and they were moving quite rapidly now. Jason barely had time to say, "I sure am," before there was a sharp, short shriek from Juanita. She jumped back with wide eyes when she noticed Rob on Caroline's arm.
"Whoa there, sister, take it easy. She's friendly. Wouldn't hurt a fly, unless it was already dead, in which case she might eat it."
Caroline was the only one who laughed at her own attempt at humor in the moment. Buzz was super quick to move toward Juanita to see if she was okay. Really? To make sure that she wouldn't make a scene that would get him and Rob in trouble again. Juanita appeared to recover quickly.
I just never expect to see a vulture at an indoor swimming pool. I'm okay, though. What's its name?"
she said as she drew in a quick breath and patted back her thick black hair. Jason, who had gone from being giddy at seeing Juanita to suddenly displaying a menacing look at Buzz, just as quickly regained his form and jumped in.
"Her name is Roberta, but we call her Rob for short. We've had her for little over a year. We found her badly hurt on a camping trip last year."
Jason continued to prattle on about Rob to Juanita as the two of them turned to go to the side of the pool, where Juanita helped him out of his chair and into the water. Ordinarily, Buzz would be irked by Jason taking credit for sharing in the care of Rob, when it was exclusively Buzz who did so. But this time, Jason had Juanita's complete attention, which made it just fine with Buzz. After he watched them move off, he turned back towards Caroline and Rob, only to see that she had wandered away in the opposite direction, Big Bird in tow. When Buzz sprinted to catch up with him, another loud shriek sounded. This time, it came from the lifeguard's whistle.
"Hey, kid, no running in here."
Buzz turned bright red as he felt all eyes were upon him. He was relieved, however, that no one seemed to pay attention to Rob and Caroline, who had sat down on the metal bleachers over behind the diving boards. Several students from the summer camp for youth with autism had come over to see Rob. Buzz glided over quickly to get Rob before any of the kids became agitated. Being around special populations events for many years, Buzz often saw children with autism, although he never really spent much time with them. He knew these kids were often friendly and interacted just fine with others, but he was also aware that some could be easily excitable or frightened. He wasn't intimidated by any of these behaviors, but didn't have a good understanding about why some of the kids would become so upset. Caroline, on the other hand, seemed to have no fear of anything. She was completely comfortable talking to anyone, autistic or not, friend or stranger. She gently teased Buzz as he took Rob over to a bleacher where no one was sitting. "Aw, come on, man. Rob and I were just starting to make some new friends." Buzz, still a little worried about getting into trouble with Rob, gave a quick, frumpled look to Caroline as he motioned with his free hand low to his side to say, "Shoo, go away." Fortunately for Buzz and Rob, the rest of Jason's therapy session went along smoothly. It was not until Jason came back out of the locker room following his shower that the lifeguard noticed Rob on Buzz's arm.
"Hey, kid, what are you doing? You can't bring that bird in here."
"Sorry, we were just leaving,"
Buzz replied quickly as he headed towards the lobby doors.
"Don't bring it back again. You hear me?"
the lifeguard commanded as he pointed from his perch by the pool. Buzz threw back an "Okay," not bothering to stop on his way out. This time, going back out through the lobby, the teen working the desk saw the odd trio of Buzz, Jason, and Rob scooting by. Eyes and mouth both open, the boy was too shocked to speak. Once outside, right on cue, Jason and Buzz saw their dad pulling up to the curb. When Buzz pulled open the door to the back seat, he saw the concerned but understanding look on his dad's face.
"Son, did you really take Roberta into the pool?"
he asked under a sympathetic but worried brow.
"Yeah, Dad, she did great. No problems whatsoever." "Yeah, except for freaking out my friend Juanita and having the lifeguard yell at him,"
Jason piped in.
"Stop it, Jason. Juanita was fine, and the lifeguard yelled at me for running, not because of Rob." "Okay, boys, that's enough. Jason, we've got to get you settled in the van and get to the clinic for Roberta's tests. The specialist from the Carolina Raptor Center is in town and is excited to meet her."
Buzz was glad for his dad's generally calm demeanor and ability to adjust to most circumstances. He knew deep down inside that his dad wanted him to keep Rob as a pet, and more so, a companion. Tuesday, August 19th, 2012, The Call.
"Okay, everybody, I'm calling the meeting to order,"
said Buzz from the makeshift cardboard box podium he'd brought into the treehouse. The founding four members of the Goodwill Vultures Club were all present. As Buzz began to go over the minutes from the last meeting, Maggie and Gillian were distracted by some unknown but irresistible smell over to one corner. While they were busy trying to nose each other out to reach the source of the smell, Rob sat erect but calm on her perch right by the one window opening in the house. The one-room retreat was Buzz's favorite place to go and relax since his dad had built it 2 years earlier. Sitting in a massive oak tree that rose about 10 feet off the ground, diverging into several broad branches that were almost trunks themselves, the house fit perfectly in the palm of the giant tree's hand. Inside, in addition to the new podium that Buzz had set up that morning, there was a large frame rug in the center of the room with faded pictures of various birds native to North Carolina. The rug had been in his dad's office for years and years before being moved to the treehouse. The only other items in the room were an old blue recliner over by the window next to her perch and a small gray plaster cave for Rob. Buzz remembered how he'd helped his dad build the cave and simple perch in the days just before they'd brought Rob home from the animal hospital where she had been treated for her wounds. He had wanted to make a nest for Rob and was surprised to learn from his dad that vultures don't make or use nests. They prefer small cave-like spaces. They would lay their eggs directly on the ground. He logged several hours searching the internet and quizzing his dad on what materials to use to make the cave as natural as possible. He recalled how anxious and excited he was to bring her home that first evening. She was in a crate, and Buzz and his dad carefully carried her up into the treehouse. When they first opened the crate, Rob boldly hopped out and began almost prancing around as if she knew she was home at last. Buzz was thrilled to see this, and thus started a long and steady time of the two growing ever and ever closer. Buzz spent time with her every day for the rest of the summer, and first thing each morning before school and each afternoon when he got home. He had come to learn what each of her peculiar mannerisms meant, when she was content or when she was irritable. He rarely saw her show fear. She just seemed to accept most things that happened with a certain calm grace. There were moments when Buzz wished he could be more like her. Buzz continued to preside over the meeting.
I know I said we would only have our club meetings on Saturdays, but, well, I'm making this up as I go, and we really don't have anything else good to do today, so here we are. On to our first order of new business. Rob, I'm very happy to say, got a good report from her checkup yesterday.
Looking at Rob, Buzz said,
Dad says you're in perfect health and should have a happy, healthy life despite your permanent wing damage. Oh, and by the way, Dad guessed your age at around 2 years, but of course you already knew that, didn't you? He says that in captivity you could live as long as 30 years. How cool is that? Maybe you can come with me to college. Would you like that, girl? Of course, when I get married, you will be my best man, or girl. Okay, maybe you should just be the ring bearer. How's that sound? We'll have to think about what day to choose as your birthday for us to celebrate.
Buzz had a tendency to ramble at times. The other three club members never seemed to mind, though. He then looked over towards Rob and again remembered meeting her for the first time. After reflecting for a few moments, he spoke.
What about June 21st, the first day of summer? That was the first day all of us met you, girl. What about that?
Rob continued to stare out of the treehouse window.
I'll take that as a yes. Now we can turn our attention to helping you learn some neat tricks, like rolling over on cue or picking up a small basketball and dunking it on command. You know, like those cool tricks parrots and cockatiels do on the animal shows on TV.
Before Buzz could continue, a new voice asked.
Speaking of TV, did you see that commercial about the Animal Heroes contest? First place gets $500.
The voice grew closer until Pee-wee emerged over the rise of the ramp into the room.
What contest? Wait, hey, what are you doing here? I thought you had to go with your mom in D.C. to get school supplies.
I got out of it by seeing the commercial and telling Mom I had to get over here right away to tell you. The deadline for registration is this Friday, and the winner will be announced on Sunday at the Community Day Festival. Oh, and by the way, you do know Rob is a vulture. She's not going to learn to do silly circus tricks like those other birds do.
Buzz was irked at Pee-wee's comment, but curious at the same time.
Actually, they can. I remember seeing one do really cool stuff when we went to the Animal Zone amusement park in Florida 2 years ago. What are the rules for the contest?
I don't remember everything. They did say something about the usual stuff. You know, like cats waking their owners when the house is on fire, or dogs pulling drowning children from a river, stuff like that. Well, there's nothing like that for Rob. Why would I even think about entering her? They did say something about animals that have deeply impacted the life of someone. Seems like Rob has done that for you. What do you mean?
Buzz asked his best friend.
Well, before Rob, you were seriously down about your parents' divorce.
Yeah, but it was all really new then. Of course I was upset. I never saw it coming. Mom and Dad seemed to get along just fine.
I know. I was really surprised when you called me and told me. I remember thinking about how my parents fuss with each other sometimes and getting worried about them.
Pee-wee ambled over and leaned against the window ledge.
My dad saw that I was worried and talked to me in D.C. one night. He told me that adult relationships are really hard work sometimes, but that he and Mom were going to be okay. I'm glad he said that, although it's kind of weird to hear him talk like a psychologist or our school counselor. I think your parents are cool, Pee-wee. You and D.C. are lucky. I mean, I like both of my parents, but it was hard to adjust to them splitting up.
And you're doing a lot better since Rob came along, man. That's why you should enter her in the Animal Heroes contest.
You're right, I'm doing better, but I really don't want all of that attention brought to my personal life.
Well, I can see your point,
Pee-wee said, as he turned to Rob and scratched her favorite spot on the back of her head.
I wouldn't want all of that attention either, but you do have a whole 3 days before the registration deadline. Maybe some dramatic natural disaster will occur, and Rob will save the day.
Buzz looked at his friend with a slight grin.
Sure, Pee-wee. Well, you never know.
Just then, Buzz and Pee-wee heard Jason's distinctive yell from the back steps.
Buzz, you got a phone call. I think you're in more trouble.
Buzz's expression turned serious as he looked quickly at Pee-wee, and then they both glanced over at Rob.
We'll be right back, Rob. Gillian, Maggie, you stay here and watch Rob,
Buzz ordered, while he and Pee-wee trotted over towards the ramp to descend from the treehouse. They'd not reached the first step before both dogs were barreling over one another and knocking into the boys.
Fine trainer you are. You sure you don't want to hire me as an expert consultant for training Rob?
Pee-wee said as they went down the ramp.
Stop, Pee-wee. I'm not in the mood,
Buzz answered, jogging toward the house with Pee-wee close behind. When Buzz burst through the open back door, Jason smiled and tossed the phone toward him. Buzz clumsily caught it and began to hold it up to his ear before fumbling it once more. Finally, he grasped it firmly and pressed it against his ear.
Hello?
Hi, Elton?
Yes?
Elton, my name is Darla Stinson. I'm the director of the Special Populations Program over at the Greendale Parks and Recreation Department. The reason I'm calling today is that we had something very unusual happen yesterday. Buzz braced himself for more complaints about Rob.
What was that?
Well, I can try to explain it to you over the phone, but I was wondering if you would be willing to come over to the community center tomorrow afternoon. I'd like for you to meet one of our participants. Her name is Chrissy, and she apparently got to meet your pet bird yesterday at the pool. A quick panic lunged in Buzz's chest.
Is Chrissy okay?
Buzz asked with a wheeze, speaking as if he were trying to pull air in rather than expelling it. I'd really like to show you tomorrow. Can you come by? Chrissy and the others should be here by 3 p.m. Oh, and be sure to bring your bird, okay? What's its name?
Sure. Her name is Roberta. I'll ask my dad to bring me, and Rob.
When he put down the phone, Buzz could tell from the expression on Pee-wee's face that his friend knew he was worried. Pee-wee didn't even tease him before asking.
What happened, Buzz?
That was a lady who works with the kids with autism. You remember how I mentioned to you that Caroline met Rob yesterday? Well, it sounds like something happened with Rob and one of the kids. The lady wants to see me and Rob tomorrow.
What happened?
Pee-wee asked again.
I don't know, Pee-wee. I didn't hear anything. I didn't see anything. No one looked upset. I thought everything was fine.
What are you talking about? No one was upset where? When?
That was a lady who works with special needs kids. She said something happened at the pool yesterday with Rob.
At the community center pool? The indoor pool? You took Rob there yesterday? Dude, that's totally whacked.
Come on, Pee-wee. You know Rob is tame at this point. Caroline was there. She came over and went all gaga over Rob and ended up taking her over to where the kids were. But nothing happened. I swear it.
Text her,
Pee-wee directed.
She'll know what's going on.
Yeah, you're right. I'll text Caroline.
And text me after you talk to her. I gotta run now. I'm supposed to clean the bonus room as an extra chore for not going with Mom and DC for school supplies. See what sacrifices I make for you?
Pee-wee smiled and turned to go, offering a small shove to try and distract his friend for a moment. Wednesday, August 20th, 2012. The meeting.
Son, let's go. I need to get back to work after we meet with Ms. Stinson this afternoon. She really didn't give you any indication of why she wanted to see you and Roberta?
Mr. Stewart was concerned when Buzz told him the night before about the phone call.
No, Dad, but I swear nothing happened at the pool. All of those kids seemed fine. When I texted Caroline, she said the same thing. I really don't know, Dad.
Buzz was feeling more anxious as the time drew near.
Well, we'll deal with it, whatever it may be.
Mr. Stewart smiled, reached over, and scrunched Buzz on the shoulder in a show of care and support.
Rob is a great bird, a great friend. Why does this have to be such a problem?
Buzz sighed.
I told you before, son, many people tend to be afraid of things they don't know or understand. It's a pretty natural reaction. But don't get too far ahead of yourself. We don't know yet what Ms. Stinson will tell us. Okay, Dad. I'll go get Rob out of the treehouse.
Buzz jogged across the backyard and moved slowly up the ramp and into the room where he found a familiar sight. Gillian, like the Sphinx in Egypt, was lying prone with her head up and ears perked, waiting for directions. Maggie sprawled on her side, was snoring away, and Rob, standing between them, was also looking over to Buzz, as if she knew they had an adventure in store. Over the course of the past year, Rob and the dogs had formed their own sort of girls' club, the dogs and this large black bird in an unnatural but nonetheless comfortable alliance.
Rob, it's time for us to go see Ms. Stinson and Chrissy,
Buzz said with a half-smile, indicating both worry and affection for his dear companion.
Gillian, you stay here and watch Maggie. Make sure she keeps out of trouble.
Came the reply from Maggie as the always faithful Gillian continued to focus on Buzz while he gently moved the willing bird into her crate. Buzz and Rob circled around from the backyard towards the driveway and saw Jason sitting in the front passenger seat of the van next to their dad.
Why are you coming, Jason?
Buzz asked as he hopped in the back seat with Rob.
You probably don't remember this, but I went to summer camp a few years ago with Miss Stinson. She was the camp director. She's really cool and super nice, actually. Well, that's good to know, I guess. I still don't understand what's going on, though.
Buzz's voice was weary as they began to drive away.
Don't sweat it, bro. It'll be all right. You two ready, son? I suppose so, Dad. I mean, I'd rather not go. I'm beginning to wish I'd never taken Rob out in public at all. Well, we'll soon know what this is all about, and we'll deal with it as best we can, son. Okay, Dad.
Buzz replied, slumping down in his seat and staring at the floorboard. We've run out of time for today's reading of the Goodwill Vultures Club, A Day of Heroes. I'm Sharon Silcox, and I've been reading with the author Hugh Willard. This program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. If you have any questions or comments, please contact us at our website, triangleReadingService.org, or call us at 919-832-5138. Once again, that number is 919-832-5138. Please join us next time as we again join Buzz, Rob, and their friends in the Goodwill Vultures Club.